You ready?
Sure.
Love that beginning. Bing, bing, bing. Bing, bing, bing. Bing, bing, bing.
Ooh. I'm back.
Yes, you are. Loud and clear. That's great.
How'd that recording turn out?
It sounded just fine. I've kept my my head away from my snowball, and we should be okay.
Yeah, you just got to keep your head away from the balls, man.
Yeah,
I told
yeah,
you this
yeah.
before.
I know. It's an odd taste I have. Okay, so this is Gappage. After a pretty severe
we're on,
gap.
Yeah, we're on 43, I think, now.
It could be 43, yeah. I don't know. I got it somewhere. One of those numbers. We've gone past 40 anyway.
Well done, us. A part of us.
Yeah. So, are you going to pull up your end on this show, or am I going to have to do most of the work, or how are we going to work this?
Yeah, I can pull up my end. I don't know. I got stuff to talk about.
Okay.
We've been both been pretty busy, I guess. That's why we haven't met up.
Well, you've been busy on other shows, and I think you're used to having like a whole slew of sidekicks, you know, to prop up your image and so on. So this is going
right,
to
prop
different.
Or to bully.
To bully, yeah. Sure.
I just got you to bully, really.
Yeah, I'm the only one, and I don't take kindly to that. So you want to be tread lightly.
Right. Yeah, I need a couple pushovers. Yeah.
So what are we going to do? Are we going to make this a serious one? Like, I always want to make Gappage somewhat serious, like a real talk with real differences. But very often we just become a little bit smart-ass and some quick banter, and we lose that authenticity. It just gets to be a little bit of a game, like most of the other podcasts out there.
Well, I mean, there's some serious things maybe we could talk about news-wise. I don't know. I have some cool things going on in my life maybe to talk about. Though I guess most people listen to Joel probably know all that shit.
I don't think so. It's hard not to think of the Showhole as being our only audience. Like, we may be reduced to that. When your audience is the Showhole, man, you're not going places.
Well, no, not just the Showhole people, because there are presumably listeners to the Showhole, or at least that five people have been lying to me about how they listen to the show.
Yeah, maybe they listen to it, but does that mean they're going to come over and listen to Gappage? I don't think so.
Well, you're a draw, man. You're the Scarborough dude. There's fans of you that have followed you for years. That's why I'm on this show. That's why we started.
Oh, I thought
11
I was,
years ago, or however long this was. Started.
I thought I was back to being Ken on this show. God, we really are in trouble.
Oh, well, you're fine. You're Ken. You're still a big deal, Ken.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You're an important.
Nice job fluffing.
You're welcome.
So, all right, let's go on with the big news in your life. You know, what's top story in the life of Brent since the last time? I think the last time we talked, I was recommending that you check out the emergency ward at a local hospital and go find yourself a girlfriend. And here,
right.
Things have changed.
Things have changed. I didn't even need to go to an emergency ward.
No. This is quite something.
Went on Tinder and met a lovely woman, Brandy, and I got a girlfriend now, and she's amazing, and we're moving in together in the fall. I hadn't told you that.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, things are going great. She's incredible, and that's like I've spent every weekend together with her since we met in mid-January, and I can't remember when we recorded. I know episode 42 came out like mid-late January. I can't remember if I had met her or not. or if we
there may have been,
or
rumors.
Maybe that show was done before the new year.
I think it might have been a year previous to that. But anyway, that's huge news. Now, I didn't know about this moving in together, and is that something that all the people at the show hall know about? So, or do we have a scoop here, or what's going on?
I think we have a scoop. I don't think I had told any of the guys on the show hall. I don't think I've mentioned it on the show hall.
Wow. Now, did you check with your mother yet?
Yeah, Andy and I. Did I check with my mother? My mother has given the thumbs up.
Well, she has.
Because I'm moving to, here's another news, I'm moving to Hamilton.
Well, that part I was guessing because she's got a place there. Gee, that is exciting stuff. What's your brother going to do?
Well, he's still trying to work that out. Maybe someone will come live with him here, or he'll move, but
and give up that house,
and give up this great place that we got. But yeah, I'm going to become a Hamilton person. Can you believe that?
It'll actually probably be easier to visit you in Hamilton than it is where you are now.
Well, that's part of the calculus for why it's a good idea to move, because it takes me less time to take the GO bus from Hamilton to get to work than it does take the bus from here.
Well, I think that's exciting.
Because Etobicoke
news
is way out of the way.
Yeah. No, that is great news. That's pretty exciting. Gosh. Wow.
I'm shocked. So you got a scoop. You got a scoop on Gappage.
We got a scoop. And so when are you going to do that? You said in the summer, maybe?
No, in the fall.
In the fall, okay.
So we're gonna go have fun during the summer, and then like October or probably something like that.
Now, you're gonna have to get a new place, or is the place she's got big enough?
The place she's got is pretty big, so we decided we're gonna move there. We looked around at some other places in the city, but it looked like way too. I wouldn't be saving any money if we moved into one of those places, and she's got good rent, and it's a nice place, and it's big enough for both of us. So, I'll be moving to her place, and putting my mark on it, as it were.
Now, what about the cat? Your cat?
Oh, Giannis is coming with me.
Okay, does she not already have a cat?
She does already have a cat, and it is a black cat. Giannis is, of course, a white cat.
Right.
So.
Giannis is a bit of a bully.
We'll never be. He's also a bit of a bully. A little worried about that. Though I've never really seen him fight with an animal. I think he puffs up his chest, but he's nothing to be feared.
Well, make sure they have separate feeding bowls.
Yes, of course.
Don't be lazy about that.
Oh, no, I take very good care of my cat.
I think you do. I don't think I really worry much about that. I think you actually... You don't appear outwardly to be a cat person kind of guy, but I've seen you in action, and you are. This is good news. Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, we'll have two cats and two people, and it'll be great.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm making a major step in my life.
Well, you are, and I'm very, very pleased to see that, because usually I'm sort of sitting in a park somewhere nagging you to move forward, take stock of your life, and my work is done. Not that I'm taking any credit.
You got nothing to worry about now.
Yeah, good stuff. Wow.
Well, you give good advice, apparently.
Well, I'm not used to people ever taking it, but anyway, this is good. So forget the emergency ward. You're clear now. Move forward.
Yeah.
There was something else. There's not much that really will top that. I'm sitting here holding a rock in my hand thinking, hey, I got a big story too. I got a rock.
Oh, you got the rock back.
I've got the rock back, yes. I'm excited about that.
The rock. I was telling Brandy about the rock.
Oh, well, she'll...
It's significant in history.
She will soon see the rock. If I don't see you before then, we'll certainly see you at the... We should put in a plug here for the... Marshall McLuhan Podcasting Roundtable in Hamilton coming up. You'll be there, of course.
I'll definitely be there. That's in July, I believe.
That is in July. So, it is actually July 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Right.
So in Hamilton, you can find out about that almost anywhere. Very much looking forward to that event. And it'll be a good crowd this year. Round-tabling, gosh.
What's that?
There's going to be bigger crowd this year. We get to also meet Heavy D, which is exciting.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
I've been podcasting with her for like a year now, and have yet to meet. Brandy's met her. I have not.
Yes, that was pretty funny to do it.
That was the greatest. Okay.
Well, do we have to move on to other news? Do we have to talk about Roseanne Barr? I already did a little plug today about that. Maybe we'll just get your take on this whole thing since it's current and we often discuss current events. Roseanne Barr fired. You do know the story,
right? Yeah, she lost her show for making racist comments on Twitter. Yeah. If I understand correctly,
that's all you got.
And are you asking if I'm against it or like I'm against people making racist comments?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly.
Should she have been fired from ABC and the show canceled? Not just that she was fired; the whole show was canceled.
Right, and I feel bad for the other people that are on that show.
Exactly.
But it's the way of it if you're in entertainment and a media company has a certain image to portray.
See, that's where I smell the cynicism here. Like I was following a few people on Facebook and they're saying, "Great, the corporation finally stood up for something and more power to them." And I'm saying, "Wait a minute now. This is just the suits preserving their own positions and jobs. They had to take that line. And it's a win for them, and it's a win for the corporation, even though they'll lose money on the show. They'll make it up in other ways. But all the basic, the people who are behind the scenes on that show, all the other actors, everybody else, is just, bam, fired. Nothing more. You don't have a job. Sorry." And I don't see, any glory in that. I don't see any great Americas being saved. We've stomped out the racists. All it's done is more polarizing of people, and there would have been more creative ways to solve this.
Right. I suppose I'd feel differently about it if someone said something I agreed with politically and got fired from their job for it. I mean,
yeah.
So yeah, maybe I am being a bit of a hypocrite.
Mm. Anyway, let's not waste any more time on it. But I guess it's just symptomatic of this deep polarization in America, and now it's starting here too with this election coming up, and the possibility of conservatives winning. Under Doug Ford, actually governing Ontario,
right,
scares the hell out of me.
Like, it does, and I'm not talking about politics. I'm not particularly against a conservative government. I've voted conservative before at the national and provincial level. It's the Doug Ford thing that really throws me for a loop. That they couldn't wrangle up a better party leader than. They did. But the fact that he won, and it's all the people that don't follow. You and I follow Toronto politics rather closely, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Probably ever since, for me at least, ever since his brother was the mayor,
right.
That led me to follow municipal politics rather closely, and I know what kind of guy that guy is.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting.
And what a buffoon and racist and ableist, and he's not a good. I disagree with his opinions, and I think he's bad at his job.
Yeah, well, he is.
But
he's another Trump.
He's good at branding.
He's another Trump. It's so similar. That's the frightening part of it, And a lot of people, yeah, great straight talk. That's what we need. Without thinking it through, but I understand why everybody's angry at the Liberals and wants to be rid of them. I mean, that's they brought it on themselves through their own hypocrisy and dishonesty. I voted Green in my local riding just as a protest vote, but I was hoping.
Oh, you've already voted?
I did. I did the advance poll. I thought I was going to be traveling, but I'm not.
Right, that's right.
But I would like to see NDP take it with with the brakes on, with somebody watching them, maybe not a complete majority, maybe having to work with somebody, but...
Yeah, I'm still... I'm waiting to see closer to Election Day where the polls are leaning, and I'm going to not be happy with it, but I'm probably throwing a vote to Liberal or NDP, and I'm not going to be happy. You know, things aren't... There's certainly been... The Liberals have certainly had their fair share of scandal, but it's not... It's not doom and, you know, it's not like the province is burning down right now, you know? I think maybe the criticisms of the Liberal Party in Ontario is overstated to some degree.
Well, a lot of it is just they hate Kathleen Wynne.
Right.
And a lot of it is coming down just picking on her, period. But there were some, you know, payoffs and things under McGuinty before her, which is where it really started stinking. Let's change the subject again. Did you go to a conference at U of T on, I don't know whether it was political correctness or something along that line?
That already happened. Was the monk debate that I went to debate, at Roy Thompson Hall, and you'd been to a debate with me a couple years ago,
right?
So it was another one of those, and it was really great. I'm glad you brought it up. I did want to mention it on the show today.
Well, I'd like to hear, because it's one I would like to have gone to. So tell us who the speakers were and what the topic was.
So the topic was political correctness. The resolution was, be it resolved, what you call political correctness, I call progress. The pro side was a Michael Eric Dyson, who I believe is an author, Dyson is an author and maybe a preacher. That sounds right.
Yeah.
And Michelle Goldberg, who is a journalist from New York and then like a political commentator on the TV. On the con side was Stephen Fry, the comedian and actor and writer, whose politics I generally agree with. Jordan Peterson was the other person on the con side.
That's who I would like to have seen. Wow. So?
Yeah, and he's certainly a polarizing figure in certainly in Canadian politics, but
academia in general.
Profiles of him in, you know, like the New York Times, I think, probably. And
he's the one who won't use these new pronouns.
Correct.
Yeah, good. So who did the best job?
I went in on the con side. You got to be careful. Ooh. It's against the resolution. The resolution was, be it resolved, what you call political correctness, I call progress.
Okay.
And to my mind, I'm against progress. I'm not calling it. No, I'm not against that. I'm against, well, I guess, yeah, The grouping together political correctness with progress.
Yeah.
That you can't, just because something is politically correct doesn't mean it's progress.
Right.
So the pro side kind of went in and talked about, you know, many points about, you know, well, you shouldn't be racist and you shouldn't be, you know, sexist and you shouldn't. The progressive ideas that I generally agree with,
right?
But they weren't arguing to the resolution; they were just making points that I agree with, which isn't what a debate's for.
Okay.
Whereas on the con side, they were talking about that, and particularly Stephen Fry, that just because something is politically correct doesn't make it progress.
Yes.
You know, he was making points such as, you know, he's a gay man and had been on, you know, television and said the way politics were when he was younger, you couldn't talk about being gay on television. Because that would offend the politics of the average person and therefore wasn't politically correct. So because politics are so fickle and change over time, you can't pin progress to political correctness. And just because you start speaking differently doesn't necessarily change the world so he said, I don't care, you know, if you call me a
queer,
you know, a slur, yeah, a queer, or, you know, the fag or whatever, I care that I can marry my husband.
Yeah. But I guess what we call politically correct has changed over the time. In fact, the term's only relatively recently come into use, right? We didn't use this term back then. We can look back at it and say it was politically incorrect to call somebody a homo or a queer. And now you can't do that. So, is that progress?
Not calling someone a homo is indeed progress.
Yeah.
It's the what you call political correctness, I call progress. The framing of that question or that resolution is what I argued with, because progress does not necessarily mean political correctness, and just because you've managed to change someone's speech doesn't mean that you've progressed society. And
that's the whole argument against political correctness,
right,
isn't it? That people mouth the words, but inside they still hate gays or they still hate blacks or whatever, but they're just saying, I just can't say that anymore or I might lose my job like Roseanne did.
True. I suppose that's one way to look at it. Stephen Fry also made the point that in restricting people's speech, people that might be on the fence to be convinced to your side shouldn't be silenced for using what you call, you know, incorrect language, heretical language. I like that he talked about things in terms of being, you know, heretical, and you can't say this because you just can't talk that way anymore.
Right.
If you restrict someone's speech then in that manner, then you lose the ability to argue with them or discuss an issue with them with language they're familiar with and try and convince them to your side.
Right. I always hearken back to the good old days when the French and English in Quebec called each other names and insulted each other and maybe got into the odd fight, but somehow survived it all and moved on. Okay.
Right, and now there's no more discontent between Quebec and English Canada. We've resolved it, right?
Not quite. It's still there.
It's still there, I know.
It's still there. Listen, do we need to do anything here to spice up this podcast? Like, I'm thinking of the people actually listening. Normally when I do my own podcast, Dixon Janes, I don't care so much about the audience. You know, I hope somebody likes it. But on this show, I feel as soon as we come back and say, hey, guess what, everybody? There's a new gappage out. People will listen. You know, I can think of maybe half a dozen people who will listen. And is there something, some sizzle or something we have to provide to appease them, to make them glad? Or are they just going to say, well, that was boring?
Or is that... I think us talking about our opinions on things are why people come to this.
Okay.
Because they can then tell me I'm an idiot or say Ken was wrong.
Okay.
So
we don't need to cheapen it in any way, you're saying.
No, I think you know, if we cheapened it and put in sound effects,
that's
cheapen the experience.
Of all things, I forgot my bell. It's still in the road trick. I got the rock and I forgot the bell. Well, here, I'll pound the rock. There.
Nice.
Okay, that's not bad.
On wood.
Yeah. Cushioned by a very, very nice little Zoom bag. The Rickster gave this, the fellow who now works out west in Seattle, I guess, for Microsoft, had a Zoom, and they came with a beautiful little felt kind of green bag, like a little sleeping bag, and that has become the Rock's permanent, ever since he delivered it from Mark Blevis, who had the Rock with Andrea for her cancer treatment. Rick returned it to me in Bluffers Park and said, here, I've got a little bag for it. So now the little Zoom sleeping bag has become a very, very important item in the Rock's history. It protects it. It saves it. It's quite nice. All right, there's the Rock
segment. Keeps it warm.
Keeps it warm.
Yeah, where's the Rock off to?
Well, I have it now until September. In September, apparently, it's going to Croatia. And it's never been to Croatia. So one of the rules for Rock keepers is as long as somebody from, say, let's say within the original inner circle, which maybe comprises a dozen people, if one of those people is going to a place it's never been to before, they have the right to claim the Rock. It can't be mailed. It has to be hand-delivered to them. But they have the right to say, hey, I need it. So, for example, I wanted it to come back from, to bring it back from Australia. But I had to leave it there because Chris and Amanda were going to Machu Picchu. And the Rock got carried there. And there's a picture of it on a rock. So now I'm told it wants to go to Croatia. I've got to return it to Vancouver in the fall. But until then, it's mine to do with as I please.
Is the Rock coming to MMPR? I don't think it's
absolutely.
Been there before.
Absolutely.
Oh, fantastic.
The thing is, I'll have to be very careful because I'm always afraid there's going to be somebody in the crowd who's going to think it's really going to be funny to hide the Rock or pretend they lost it or something like that. You know, some jerk who doesn't quite get the importance will want to do it. It's like if you're back in high school, you know, and you got something neat, somebody's going to grab it and take it from you and not give it back.
Yeah, there are jokesters that come to that event. Yeah. You need to be careful.
I'm not going
to
mention any names. You know, I'm not thinking of anybody in particular necessarily, but...
I am, but sure.
Yes, right. So anyway, it will be there. It'll be making an appearance. And I'm happy about that. And then I get to drive it all the way across Canada, which I'm very excited about. A trip I haven't done for a few years, and certainly haven't done it in the road track yet, so that's good news. All right, let's close out the Rock segment.
All right.
Oh, nice.
That was the... There we go.
New topic, anything else you'd like to take on?
We can, let's see. There's that. There today in the news was just announced that we're now in a trade war with the States.
A trade war. That's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I've never had to live through a trade war. I listened to the press conference and went and looked up what all the products are that are getting either a 25% or 10% tariff slapped on it.
It's a tit for tat, right? It's basically standing up and saying, "Hey, Trump. Asshole, you can't do this. You can't just suddenly dismiss trade agreements." And so it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. It'd be wonderful to think that we might play a role in getting Trump into some serious trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I took a look at some of the products. A lot of them are food-related products.
That we will be charging a tariff on, you're saying.
Yeah, but then that... means the for those to come into the country, but won't that mean that the price of those products will then go up in the store and then people will be less likely to buy it?
Well, that's kind of the point, I guess, that sales will go down on the American side. They'll be priced out. What I heard today, and my God, I can't believe this was true, was him saying huge tariff to eliminate all German vehicles coming into America, like Mercedes and Porsche. And he was saying, till I never see another Mercedes driving down Fifth Avenue or something. And I thought, oh, surely that's a spoof site. Surely that's not coming from the White House. But it sounded like it was for real. Do you know anything about that?
I think that might be real because this tariff is applying to Mexico as well.
Yeah.
And to different... Yeah, and not the foreign vehicles necessarily, but tariffs to products.
He has no love for Merkel.
And it's happening
Germany.
To Europe as well,
right?
Yeah,
I mean they're quite clear. They're not aligned on a number of issues. So that would be interesting, because surely there'll be a huge backlash there. They're not going to put up with that. What do you mean you can't sell Mercedes? What about all the Mercedes and Porsche dealerships in the States? They're going to go out of business?
Right.
No, you can't do that shit.
I don't know. I'm waiting to see anything that he's done backfire on him in any way. And there's as I can tell that hasn't really happened yet. It's
appalling to me. But meanwhile, it seems there's lots of little things that are actually getting changed and passed. I saw something about being able to hunt bears in their dens now, which had been prohibited before, and now it's going to be okay, you can do that, and all kinds of little laws that he promised, you know, to just get rid of all this red tape. Some horrific things that may already be changed into law. I don't know what the answer is.
I think I heard today he's getting rid of protections for it was two endangered, or it was for sea turtles and whales.
Yeah.
Those are no longer protected species in the States. So
surprising.
It's just bizarre what he seems to be doing, just wildly removing regulations from things.
Wherever somebody is saying, do this for me, and he owes favors. I don't know. All I'm picturing is him being shot. I know that's not a good thing to say on a podcast, but I just have this image. I'm not doing it, but somebody shooting him. And then I would fear the backlash after that, because already you've got armed camps in the States who are just, you know, ready for trouble of any kind. And so that is not the solution, you know. You want him out of there.
There's a show I recently just got onto season two of, and we sort of, Brandy and I steamrolled through the first season in the last couple weeks. It's the Margaret Atwood novel. Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, how terrifying that show.
That show is really messed up, but watching it with the way politics are going now.
Oh yeah.
Like the world that they create there and how it happens.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem so far fetched.
No. That's what's so terrifying about that. I'm great appreciation for Margaret Atwood to pull that off long ago when she did. But the adaptation, putting it to screen, is so well done, but so frightening. We're not dealing with zombies here. We're dealing with, you know, people with fanatical beliefs that already exist.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I don't want to give spoilers away, but you know, toward the end of season one, you start to see, well, I guess part of season two where we're into, you start to see how this new world happened in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just watching it and thinking, this seems more likely than any other apocalypse. It's like a social apocalypse story.
Yeah. That very timely.
Society just breaks down and a bizarre way, and now people are forced to live in this terrifying totalitarian government.
Yep. Scary stuff. Okay, maybe what else is going on in your world that would not be going on in my world? Like, you see, I have no experience in gaming. I mean, I was there when Pong came out, you know, the two paddles and the ball, and never got past
right.
that. And so gaming's never been part of my life. And then when I hear people like of you and even Broadbeck and others like that, who are gaming all the time. It's such a huge part of their life. I don't feel I missed anything because my time has been full, but it's a world that really is foreign to me.
And so you're wondering what's interesting in games now.
I'm wondering how important it is to you, I guess.
It's is a form of entertainment. It is important to me, mm-hmm. but I'd say I only get into the mood a few times a year now. I was that? I met Brandy in January,
right.
And there's been 1 week in that span where there was a new video game that came out, and I really wanted to play it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there'll be sometimes, hey, can't hang out this day because I'm playing this new thing with my friends.
Well, you got to see what it is. Tell me.
Oh, it turned out to be a garbage game. Okay. But Sea of Thieves was what I was hooked on for a while, which is like a pirate simulator. But we were a few days into it and realized it was not worth the effort, and it wasn't very fun. So that sucks. But mobile games occasionally, and I still got my Xbox, but there isn't really anything on my radar that is wowing me right now. I'm sure there'll be a couple things I'll play before the end of the year. But yeah, there's only 2 or 3 games a year that I really get into.
How about Brandy? Does she game?
How about Brandy? She's not much of a video gamer. She'll play games on her phone, but doesn't really, you know, play PC games or Xbox or what have you. So we've not done that, though. Maybe when we move in together, I can teach her to play some games. That'll be fun.
Okay. Listen, did you ever listen to the CD? I know you didn't. I know the answer is no, but that's why I'm asking. That I gave her, it came with that magazine, the April issue of Uncut. And I said, the CD is really good. It came with a magazine. You never had a chance to hear it.
No, we had not got a chance to hear it because we have yet to find a device that we have that still has a CD player on it.
Not even in a car, right?
We don't have a car. So,
okay.
All right. Yeah, we've not got a chance. And Brandy was bugging me about it for weeks, and I have yet to find a device that exists in my house where I can copy
it. It is really worth listening to. There's an unbelievable song by Joan Baez, When the Great Correction Comes. And you could tie it in with the show we were just talking about, The Handmaid's Tale. You could tie it in with politics, anything else, but it's a really powerful song. And then there's a lot of other just great stuff. And it's so wonderful when you find a random CD in almost every cut you like. And you think, wow, that's kind of neat. And I love finding things that I was not familiar with before that are just new. I mean, I'll always go back to the Beatles and the Pink Floyd and my things that I'm just comfortable with. But finding a new sound is still a thrill. I think that's why I was asking about the gaming, you know, in terms of just relative thrills. For me, it's just been music. It always is.
Right. And some of the games I like are like the bizarre ones. I don't know. I was just reminded of one that's coming out later this year that I'm enthusiastic to play called, and I don't remember what the game is called, but you play as a goose in a village, in a farm village. Mm-hmm. And you go around honking at people and stealing their shit and generally being a dick. And then people chase after you and you run and hide. And it's... I'll send you the trailer for it because you watch it, you're like, this is the dumbest game ever. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I like something that's silly and dumb, that doesn't take itself too seriously.
Right.
That tends to be... Where the interesting stuff lies these days.
Yeah. See, I have very poor reflexes. I'm just not coordinated at all that way. And so I think that's why there was never even an interest in games. When I got Donkey Kong for my son, that was literally a game changer. It was the first year I got the setup, and I thought Donkey Kong was just the most incredible, wonderful thing ever. And Daniel would do it with his older brother watching on, telling him, try this. It amazed me. I'd never seen anything like that before. And the others were the race cars, you know, and you could customize your race car and make it faster and buy stuff. That was a thrill. So I understand the appeal. And then they got into, what was the one where everybody just, you know, steals cars and runs over people and shoots them in the street?
Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto. And they went through all of that, of course, and I kind of lost interest by then.
But I tend to enjoy those games, and our mutual friend Broadbeck enjoys those kinds of games, mm-hmm. because sure, you know, you hear the news stories about the horrifying, you know, violence in these offensive situations in these games.
The latest one where you can shoot your friends up at a high school.
Oh, is that why you brought that? I was wondering if that's what you were talking about.
Well,
now,
It did come up.
So that has been in the news, in the gaming news recently, where there was a small developer that made a game where the objective was you could be a police officer or, I guess, an active shooter in a high school and shoot up a high school. And there's been arguments as to whether or not that game should be even allowed to exist. And I think, and maybe this ties back to the, you know, offensive comments from Roseanne Barr, I think such a thing should be allowed for sale and should be allowed to exist.
Yeah.
And then the market should decide whether or not they want to support that thing.
Yeah, I kind of agree. It is not going to be the thing that turns somebody into a shooter. That game
exactly.
is not going to breed killers. Right.
Right. And all the research that's come out looking into violent video games, which was sort of
that didn't get
talked about much until the late 90s, and they did a whole bunch of studies and they didn't find any correlation at all with violence and playing a violent video game.
That's the sign for a change topic. You got a horn?
Change topic. Okay.
Speaking of
a horn.
Thank you. Speaking of horns, I am delighted that Jason, the nice Jason. No, it's not the nice Jason. It's good Jason. No, it's not good Jason. Jason with a normal Jason? Is that it?
Right. Normal. No, it's regular and irregular.
Regular Jason. And irregular. That's
fair. Have to be abnormal.
Okay. Yeah. So regular Jason, nothing to do with how nice he is or isn't or anything else, right? Or the other one. Regular Jason begins his show with that very short clip of me saying, "Are you ready?" And then you're making your fake horn sound because you didn't have your horn handy. And then we just break into giggles. And I recall
that
time.
That makes me so happy to hear that.
Oh, it's hilarious. I should get a hold of that clip and maybe insert it here, because it's joyful. Like, we were happy. We got stoned together and we were just in our hilarity. And that's something that we haven't done for a long time. You have better things to do on a weekend. But
speaking of getting high together,
yes.
Do you know that? So today we both joined this History of Podcasting Facebook group.
Yes, yes.
Don't look it up because it's a private group. You need an invite, I think, to get there.
Well, thank you for letting me know.
No, I think you're in it already.
Well, I am. I've already added my podcast.
Yeah,
I told you that
exactly.
Okay,
but
anyway,
so they added a. They added a page for sort of like the history of different events and stuff.
Right.
And I went through today and added a bunch of events that there was the Toronto podcast meetup organized by Craig from the Tangents podcast. And I don't even know if that guy is still around podcasting anymore. And in that, I saw you and I were both at that meetup together, and I have a feeling that that's the first time that you said, "Hey, let's go smoke a joint," and you and I were the only ones that wanted to go out and do that. And so
this
was
before Montreal, you're saying?
Before Montreal. Montreal wasn't the first time we'd met, certainly, and it wasn't the first time that we smoked a joint. I know that we'd done that before at the one of the Toronto podcast meetups, so I was digging through my old Gmail archive from 12 years ago.
Wow.
Trying to throw in the figure out when the first one of those was. They're setting up a wiki on that page.
Yeah.
Sort of explain the history of podcasting. Mm-hmm. And that Toronto area podcast meetup is where you and I met. And I remember being excited to see that you were going.
Yeah. Oh, good stuff.
So
that's interesting. Gee, yeah. It's funny. The
Connie
tie-in
was there.
Yeah.
And Jay Muno was there, and I'm trying to think of other. Jim Mills was there. Trying to remember some of the old timers that were there. But what's interesting is that the website for it still exists.
Really?
That was set up, and so you could go and see. Timothy Pilgrim was there.
Okay, sure. Send me a link later if you can.
Sure. It's interesting just to see that history, and we're all talking with each other back and forth and sharing our podcasts, and then we all went and met at the Imperial pub.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I sort of took a trip down memory lane today.
That's kind of neat.
Podcasters and the first PAB and the first PodCamp Toronto and the first PodCamp Montreal.
Well, I guess you and I have been pretty consistent about attending these events on a regular basis. I mean, we did the when we had the live podcaster night at the back room of the Imperial Pub, we were there. The PAB events and the others you mentioned. It's interesting because at the same time, Barnacle Bill out in Vancouver has been sending around a spreadsheet asking people to fill in dates of who was the keeper of the rock. So I asked Mark Blevis, who had it, and I asked Doug Slater, when did you have the rock? Because I know Doug had it for the birth of his daughter. And Doug said, well, then here's a picture. There's a picture of the handover, and here's the date. And then he reminded me that 3 years ago I had actually set up a Facebook page for The Rock that I had completely forgotten existed. It was frightening that, how could I not remember doing this? And then I had some vague memory that, yeah, I did something for The Rock, but nobody was showing an interest and I dropped it. So I brought it back to life yesterday, and it's that same idea of, wow, we've got a history behind us now. And history gets soon forgotten, you know, if it's not shared somehow or captured. So there is a Friends of the Rock Facebook page that pretty well anybody, I think, can access. And pictures have been posted, and new information's coming up. And somebody suddenly is writing about a trip they took, you know, 20 years ago with the Rock. It's interesting.
That's great. I just signed up for that group. I have never been a keeper of the rock because I've not done.
Well, you've never been
interesting
mature enough,
travel in a
you?
Long time. Or, I guess not.
No.
Yeah, maybe that would be hurtful if you said that. Like Brandy could be the keeper of the rock, but I could not.
Yes.
That would cut me to the core.
Well,
and now that I've said it, I feel like you're going to do it one day.
Well, I've been holding back on that because I thought I'm hoping we're going to get together. I'm going to come and visit you and Brandy in Hamilton one of these days. And the thing that I'm going to talk to Brandy when you're getting ice for the drinks or whatever is saying, look, keep an eye on this guy and help him mature just a little bit more, right? And I think she already knows she's got her work cut out for her, so no problem there. But she'll be good for you.
I hope so. I hope so. She has been so far.
Yes.
Maybe I'll grow up some.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just a...
There's a Peter Pan part to you that doesn't really want to grow up. I know that. I understand that, too. But you're sometimes you have no choice, you know.
Yeah.
You just come screaming, you know, into maturity, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I can... I'm getting close to 40, so you may as well.
Yo.
Someone's got to drag me kicking and screaming. Yeah, I'm turning 36 this August.
Oh, well, you know, we're near 40. Jeez, what are you talking about?
That's closer than I am to 30.
Yeah.
Is when I originally thought I was growing up.
Hey, that's nothing. But with that in mind,
it's nothing. Yeah,
plan something special for your 40th, or if you're still with Brandy, she will, I'm sure, to commemorate it. Now, is she a little bit older than you?
That's a rude question to ask, Ken.
Okay, on air. All right, she might listen to this. Well, I just assumed she was, in at least in terms of maturity, we know that. That's been established.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely more mature than I am.
Yeah.
In a acting like an adult sense. But,
right. We'll leave it there. We'll leave it there.
Yeah, we'll leave it there.
Right. Boy, you dodged a bullet there. Good for you. Good. Okay, so, we've covered quite a bit of ground. We've almost got 50 minutes here. Is there any other little tidbits we want to throw out there to, entertain the few listeners? Any gossip? Anybody you
We've never
want to
really
say something
been
bad
one
about?
For. No, not really. I haven't got into any fights with people or arguments for a good long time. Yeah, things are good.
Well, the last time I saw you would have been at my birthday party, and boy, you were drunk.
Okay, I was fucking hammered at your party, yeah. And I apologize for that.
Oh, no need to apologize.
I apologize to Brandy for that if she listens.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got the story after to that. The paper, with the LCBO yeah. paper bag. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a rough train ride home.
The saddest part of that evening, and I tried to put out a plug on my own podcast, was that you came up with the most creative, hilarious explanation of why everybody got a feather and this little gemstone. And it was just, and she told me, well, this is what Brent said. And it floored me. Now, of course, I had just stepped out for a toke, so maybe I'm exaggerating how brilliant it really was. Maybe it wasn't all that clever. But it seemed at the time, it's amazing. This, because you are quick. You do have an interesting thought process sometimes. And this was just, it was pure gold. And it's gone forever, you know? Even Brandy
yeah,
didn't remember.
Yeah, no, well, because I think of so many clever things, she can't be expected to keep track of all of them.
That's what you know, people around you are for, right? That's why Christ had the disciples, right? Pick up the nuggets.
Right. Yeah, yeah, and you're supposed to be one of my disciples.
No, no,
so you
no,
drop
no.
the ball.
No.
Way to Judas me on
Brandy,
that one.
Brandy had that role, and she relayed it, you know, but it wasn't in writing. Speaking of getting high, I brought out my oil the other day, and it works quite nicely when you just drop it onto something, a little bit of pizza or something. And we were talking about listening to music before. The sound system in the Road Trek is so nice. I'm not bragging here. I'm just saying this is my new happy place. Just to lie in the back of that, put on either a CD or, you know, podcast, but normally just a CD, and crank it up a little bit, and on the very odd occasion, spiffied up, and that's pure glory, pure joy.
Yeah, it's drugs are real amazing for that, aren't they?
They can be.
Just appreciating art and music. Yeah, they can be. You're right. You got to find the right strain, I guess, to appreciate that stuff.
That's right.
Have you been to any of the dispensaries? No, because you get yours legally through the mail.
No, I haven't, and I don't have any need at this point. So,
right, and they're all going away anyway, presumably by the end of the year. But for that couple of years where they've been around, it's really helped me to try different varieties and understand how the different varieties can affect you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made me, you know, like how you get a taste for different kinds of wine and where they're from and stuff. Having a taste, if you will, for different strains has been interesting, and understanding, like, well, this is good for listening to music or going to a party, or this one's right. going to make you want to just sit on a couch, you know, and understanding the differences between those has kind of been fascinating these last couple of years for me.
You know what's so interesting about that is it would have been 1970, 71, 72, that whole area, right? From basically 68 on, 69, when I would buy hashish in Montreal. And you'd buy it, and you knew where it was from just by looking at it and smelling it. And we took so much pride and paid so much attention to the quality of the hash you got. And the time, I've talked about this before, but it thrills me to just think back to this drawer I had with 4 ounces in it, an ounce each, of Blonde Lebanese, which was the nicest, and that you'd put on the end of a cigarette and suck it up with a straw or a hollowed-out pen.
Holy shit, an ounce of hash?
Yeah, that's a significant amount. I had four. I had considerable resources in those days. And then, normally you'd buy them by a quarter, but you can buy, if you're going that way, I'd buy an ounce and sell 3 quarters. So there was a blonde Leb. Then there was a red Leb, which didn't like quite as much. It was always cheaper. You might get that for $65 an ounce. The blonde Leb would cost you 80. And then there was Afghan for maybe 90, and that was tar black, and it was good. Well, not it wasn't tar, but it was solid black brown. And it was, bam, you're going to get off on that. And then occasionally you'd come across some Pakistani hash and you didn't like it, and it was kind of tarry, and you just turned into a zombie. You just couldn't move or anything else. And then the best that I ever had was in the shape of a rock, and it was Turkish. And it was white going through it, and somebody said, well, that's because it's been opiated. That's just part of it. And it was very hard. And you'd cut off the smallest amount and put that on your water pipe or on the end of your own little pipe. And, oh, it was absolutely beautiful. And those days, that's maybe what the government should be bringing back is the way we have connoisseurs with wine now that we're selling it, that when they do sell in the liquor stores, they should be going that way. And I have the feeling they're not going to do it because they don't want to make it seem attractive. But that's what you want. You want to be able to go in and talk to somebody. It's, oh yes, we've got this bud here. This is the blend, and these are the qualities, and so on. I don't think we're going to get that for a long time.
I don't think we're going to get that for a long time, but I wonder, and maybe it just needs time for attitudes about it to change, but I don't understand. If it's going to be regulated by the LCBO, why can't it be treated the same way? I was in a discussion with an acquaintance, and he was all mad about, there was that story in the news a couple weeks ago where the Toronto District School Board was bitching about pot stores that were going to be placed within a kilometer of the school, which in Toronto, you can fit a lot of stuff in a square kilometer.
Yeah. And there's schools everywhere.
And there's schools everywhere. And my thought is, does the LCBO check with the TDSB before they put in a store?
No.
Because if they don't, then I don't understand what the difference is.
Yeah.
And, they make wine look attractive and have a whole fucking magazine about food and drink that you get for free in the LCBO.
Right.
Why wouldn't pot be treated the same way?
I think it will be, or I think it's going to be slow coming. I think they're very nervous of that first year of an increase in car accidents, fender benders backing out of the parking lot of people going, they can't really give out samples the way they can in the private industry. So I think everybody wants to be a little bit cautious, and there'll be a group keeping stats and wanting some kind of a disaster because they're just opposed to this. So it'll take time, but we'll get there. And I would like to get back. That's why I mentioned the early days of the hash. I would like to be able to buy hashish instead of just marijuana. And,
right.
That's the kind of thing we should be as citizens. If we're proving this thing is not harmful and that should be the freedom of choice, well, then let's have a choice. Okay.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how that changes. And I'm totally worried about them dropping the ball on this online store they're supposed to have. I'm worried about it because things have been so great with these dispensaries and getting the opportunity to appreciate the differences between the different varieties.
I think they may coexist. I have the feeling a few dispensaries are going to find some way of keeping going because people aren't going to want the austere LCBO experience. All right, it's almost an hour.
All right.
Do we do a sign off? Do we tell people how to get a hold of us? Do we?
You can find
put out any wishes.
No wishes. I don't know. People can find the full 10-year run of Gappages at Gappage at gappages.blogspot.com.
Oh, good. Excellent. Yeah. That's a good thing. Yeah, go back, listen to another one. See how we've matured.
Very little.
Yeah, so. All right, well, that was painless.
Yeah, it was pretty good. We should maybe wait four months before we do another one of these.
Let's try another one sometime.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
All right. Good night. Have a good one, Ken.
You too.
Not Scarborough Dude.
Yeah. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
How do you shut this damn thing off? Oh, here's a button. You know.